In all of this heartbreak, did you ever start to question yourself that maybe you're the problem and maybe relationship is just not for you?
Yes, I questioned myself. I said maybe I was doing too much. Maybe I wasn't beautiful enough.
I thought I was doing little and you thought you were doing too much.
I was doing too much, you know. I think there was one time when the boyfriend said he didn't have...
Hello and welcome to 20 Somethings Rant Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Fortunes, self-acclaimed spokesperson for 20s. Here on the podcast, we talk about everything bothering us as 20 somethings, from the good to the bad to the wins, the ups, the downs, and everything in between without discrimination, judgment, or prejudice, with a goal to build a community of 20 somethings who are empowered to be their best selves, live their best lives, blossom, while staying connected and learning from one another. If this is your first time here, welcome. And to returning listeners, welcome back. So let's delve right in.
It's another episode of 20 Somethings Rants. Yay! And of course, I'm your host, Jessica Fortunes. And here we talk about everything bothering us as 20-somethings, from the good to the bad, the in-betweens. Like everything, everyone here has the opportunity to share their minds without any, you know, any discrimination. I'm always open to talk to you, you know. Anyways, welcome to another episode. I'm excited. As you can tell from my voice, it is always, always a good time to be on the podcast. So I really do hope that while you're listening, you're having a good day and it just continues to go really good for you. Okay? All right. Okay, so today in the studio with me, I have Cassie. Hi, Cassie.
Hi, Jessie.
How you doing?
I'm excited.
I know, right? Finally, we're doing this. It's been forever, since last year.
Yep. It dragged.
Yeah, and finally we're here. What God cannot do does not exist.
Definitely.
We made it here, and I'm super excited to have you here. You know, just before we came here, myself and Cassie were talking about the new movie.
Gang the Vegas.
Yeah. I am having a hard time going to watch the movie because the betrayal of what time is on that movie. And no, I didn't want to say her name on my podcast. No.
She's not worthy.
She's not worthy. She's not worthy to be talked about, guys. But I hear that the movie is a good movie and even Cassie agrees.
Yep, I actually do. Just that, of course, like some of like people that have my type of opinion, of course, they'll feel some kind of way when her scene comes in.
Yeah.
So it's a very great movie depicting the happenings of what's going on in Nigeria. It's very, very interesting. Of course, if you've seen the movie, you understand that some people are being very hypocritical.
Is it some people for me?
Because that's reality, actually. The movie depicting reality. And now in 2023, everybody's saying something else when they meant something else before. So it doesn't even make sense. And the way our celebrities just broke our hearts. I mean, we used to enjoy your movies, your music. All of a sudden, you're right against us when you can even tell the bad from good, but you still support the people who have been oppressing us for years. We do want to move on. I mean, it doesn't make sense that Nigeria continues to be static. If you think about it, these men, these politicians who have been here, do you think that the status quo was supposed to go on forever?
That was the idea, I think.
Nothing lasts forever. There was going to be a time for revolution. And that movie actually saw revolution. There was a time they stood up to the government. There was a time they fought against it. And they won. So I feel like Gang of Lagos is a very, very good movie to see. So.
Okay, then. You heard it from her. So I am going to, you know, I'm sitting on the fence, but I think that I'm going to watch it because
you should.
It's the first, I think, African movie for Prime.
Yeah,
so it's like a big deal for us in Africa for entertainment. So I really don't want it to flop. So I'm going to watch it and I'm going to tell people to watch it.
Yeah.
But when we get to that part where I did this day, I'm sorry, if you don't know who I'm talking about, forget about it. But once we get to that part, I'm just going to skip. I mean, now I already know what she's saying. So I'm like, skip. I don't need to hear you. Skip. I don't want to see
it's
you.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, just skip. Because it's really heartbreaking because, you know, first you love or you fall in love with these celebrities and then they just do you anyhow. And it's funny because celebrities start to claim, oh, I can do whatever I like. I can do this. Of course. And I'm like, yeah, you had that before you became a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's like nobody even asked you to be it. I mean, we have this course in school that's called ethics, where they teach you about, you know, ethical practices in the media and all of that. And when they talk about celebrities, like, celebrities know that the media is going to be on their case because this is who you are.
Yes.
You're a person of sort of clout or fame. And so people want to know what's happening to you. So it is part of the job. And also, if you intend to influence people, like the other time I dragged somebody on Twitter. I'm sorry. I'm always dragging one person. I promise I'm going to change. But this lady went on a whole, oh, allow influencers to do whatever they want to do. And I'm like, yeah, you don't want your audience to be able to tell you what to do, but you want to be able to influence them to do things. It should be a two-way thing where your person can say, oh, help us talk about this. I think it was during the time of NSAS, and then some influencers were quiet about it, and then Nigerians just went about dragging them. And I had to write a long note and saying, that's not true. Mm-hmm. It should be a two-way thing. If you want people to buy the products that you use and you basically talk about and sponsor and get paid for,
yeah,
then when they speak to you, you should listen. At least owe them that little bit of respect to communicate, because they're like, it's a two-way thing.
Yeah.
But I think that if they leave me and Cassandra today, we're going to talk about politics from beginning to the end. And that's not the aim of this podcast.
Because we're really fighting for our lives.
We are. But I'm so excited that as young people, we're finally taking back the power. And we're not. Yes. And we're not sitting by the sidelines. It's like once upon a time, we're always on the sidelines and just whatever they like, let them do. I don't care. I'm going to travel abroad. I'm going to jackpot. But it's like we're finally realizing that, nah.
Yeah.
We own this country. And shout out to Fowls anyways. Yeah. I don't know if he's ever going to listen to this. Man, well done. Well, anything that guy does, I'm going to support him. Anything he does, I'm literally going to support. Okay, now back. Away from Nigeria's Wahala. Today we're talking about Cassie's heartbreak stories. I don't know if I've ever had an episode about, you know, heartbreak. Because very rare that people want to talk about their heartbreak story. But today, we're going to be listening to Cassie's, and I'm very, very interested. So this is me handing over the microphone to Cassie. How did you get your heart broken, babe?
Well, basically, it has to, of course, start from love.
Oh, she fell in love.
Okay, let me take it all back. So I'm very happy when I talk about my childhood because it was a very interesting one.
Mm.
It's just me and my sister, so it's just two of us. So now I've grown older and I understand why my parents used to always say, oh, get inside the house. We're two girls and the compound was filled with boys. So it was so understandable for us to grow up being protected. So every chance we had going out to play was fun. It was worth it. They were disciplined parents. They still are disciplined parents. So what I'm trying to say is that I grew up in love. A lot. I grew up in comfort. Now, because it didn't allow me interact with people very early, I didn't understand that life wasn't straightforward. Mm. It wasn't black and white. My parents love each other. So of course, they fight. But it's not the crazy type of fight where they say, oh, I'm leaving you or I'm going away. No. It was like every other fight brought about the relationship being stronger. Now, they love each other. They translate that love to us. Now, what I know is just love. It was until I got out, I started interacting and playing with other kids. I had a crush at 9. Mm. I realized that, oh, life is not actually black and white only. People have other colors and some people have red. And red is danger. So when you see red, run. But even though I saw red at an early age, it wasn't a major heartbreak. It was just like a crush, of course. I was trying to understand people. I was starting to understand why. Oh, I like you. You're supposed to like me back. Oh, we're supposed to just flow, right? I start to understand that people are different. And you can't, you're not a coloring pencil, so you can't color people. You can't change them.
Word.
They can only change when they want to.
Word.
Life is your choice. It's your life. So having a crush at 9, it wasn't a major, major heartbreak. I think I got my first heartbreak at 16.
That was the first major one.
Yeah.
When you say first, how many of you had?
It wasn't all that. It was just disappointment. Let me just say disappointment. Because I expected more from people. I expected more from life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what daddy and mommy taught
had portrayed.
Me. Yeah. So also, I grew up reading books. So most of the books I read were mostly about love. Now, you're what you grew up with. Mm-hmm. You're what you read, listen to, you hear. So it took me a while to understand that, oh, you have to actually follow reason with your head rather than your heart.
Word.
Yeah, you have to. Because if not, these men, they'll play. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody is actually very special until you make them.
Mm. Exactly. Okay, word. Cassie dropping all the words and all the words of wisdom. Give us.
So if they come into your life and something interests you, then that's you. Also, I've realized that, oh, love is actually a choice, because if you come into my life and you're not doing things I like, there'll be nothing there to fuel or motivate me to love you. I'll want to maybe forget about you and just move on, you know. So, of course, there's something that attracts people to each other. It could be the looks, it could be their character. I know, let me not say for everybody, but for me, I like good-looking people. I mean, when you get to see that they're fine, and then you get to know them, you can now say, okay, this person is good for me, or, okay, this person is not good enough for me, so let me just move on. So, I think my first heartbreak, it wasn't so... The heartbreaks came because I was such a believer.
A believer in love.
You know, I was thinking that life was like Wonderland, and I'm like, Alice, you know, I could get anything I want if I say, okay, if I love somebody, they're supposed to love
you back.
It's supposed to be that simple. But that heartbreak came because I really liked that person. And to think that they had another person they were chatting with, talking with, made me really, really angry. I think that's the first time I was able to hack into somebody's Facebook account.
OMG!
I'm sorry. I did that. I really did that because I was going crazy. You know, that era was the era of Facebook and all of that. So social media was... Facebook, especially.
Yeah.
I found him on Facebook. We connected. Started talking. I would see... he'll post a picture because he's a very pretty boy. Should I say he is? It is, by God's grace, fine wherever he is. So he's a very pretty boy. So he'll post pictures and there'll be these comments on there. And I'm like, I don't understand. You are in a relationship with me. You have to tell them you're in a relationship with me.
And there used to be something on Facebook where you can tell in a relationship, yes, complicated.
Exactly. He never did that. He never would have stated something. I should have, you know, I should have picked up the red flags.
You saw the red flags, baby, but you ignored the red flags.
But I was so naive. I really thought that, okay, people do change and maybe I could change them. If they see that I like them, they could change for me. But like I just said, people only change when they want to. So under the comments, most of the times, you know, they would call him baby, you would call them baby back. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And, you know, let me not say it was a childish kind of... No, it wasn't. This was us still trying to figure out what we like, the type of relationships we like. So even those little things mattered. Of course it mattered. I'm your girlfriend, like you say, in the DM. So why are you not showing it to every other person, right? I go crazy one because I would ask him and he'd be like, oh, it's nothing. I got mad one day. I said, no, I have to hack this Facebook and see what's going on. Of course, women like what they hear, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's fine. I understand. You like me, of course. I was like, no, you know what? I have to hack this account. Do you know, I didn't even do much. All I had to do was guess. I guessed 1, 2, 3. I guessed his name was his password. I should have run away from this dumb boy. I'm sorry. His name was his password. It was so easy to access. I opened it and I saw that it wasn't one. It wasn't two. There were three other girls. They were also girlfriends.
Wow.
And I was so heartbroken because I never saw that coming. I thought when people say I like you, they actually mean it. That, okay, it has to be like, it's us.
Exclusive.
You know the crazy thing? I used to think that is my person for life. So I don't have to have another boyfriend or anything, you know. I thought, okay, this is marriage. Not exactly marriage, but like, although I was 16, 17, I was thinking, okay, yes, we can date. You'll be with me forever. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Okay, well, sometimes, so this is where the bus stop, you have to come down to the next person. So yeah, it was the really heartbreaking thing that I saw that night. But
how did you deal with this, sorry, before you move on?
It wasn't easy.
Did you tell him what you saw? Did you tell him how you got into
his face? Yes, I did. I did. And he was angry that I hacked it, but he was sorry and still begging me. Do you know that even when I broke things off, I was the one that went back to say I'm sorry?
To do? Well, sorry for what?
Let's continue. I was too into it. Oh my God. I can't leave. And you know, when I think about it now, it's like, why? Why did you do that?
And I think because you were still 16. So let's cut you some slack, exactly. Though.
Although I don't blame myself anymore.
Yeah.
I used to blame myself. So that it is like every other relationship I went from was fireball to fire. I'll explain. Because, you know, I was now thinking that, okay, maybe the next person won't be so bad. But it took me a while to get over that person. So the next relationships were not important to me like that. So I didn't really feel in love with the people I was with. It was like two other relationships after that one.
How long before you go into the next relationship?
2 years. It took me 2 years to get.
Okay, you're 18 now. So
yeah. So it took me 2 years to get over that one. So I got into uni and I met somebody and it was interesting, but I was still, so there was still some part of me with the other guy. So it was a drag. So fast forward to when I turned 20, that was when I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe boys my age might be the problem. Let me try older boys. Imagine, I think that was a wrong move. Because the older boys, it's like they're the cousins to the devil. I'm sorry.
What did they do to Cassie this time around?
No, it wasn't fair that in my head, I thought that, okay, maybe the younger boys were my age and they just want to live life and, you know, just
have fun.
Yes. Maybe the older boys are more matured. They understand where I'm coming from. They understand that, okay, it's black, it's white. This, I love you, so you have to see it. I didn't know that they could manipulate.
Word.
I didn't know that, you know, when you show people that you love, or the other boys, exactly, in my opinion, when I showed him I loved him, that was when he now, like, okay, maybe it's okay to play. But, you know, I can't blame him 100% because there were signs where he was saying that, let's go with the flow. He was literally telling me, I'm not really what you're looking for and all of that.
But you ignore the red flags.
But I wasn't taking it because in my head, it was like, okay, maybe all that boys would do. And then he came at the right time. So it was like, I said, the universe was giving me him and I was accepting it. So I was like, I was already liking him too much to move away. So I was thinking, okay, we could go on with this. But then it was complicated because it would be like, oh, he likes me not. He would tell me, oh, maybe I'm not what you're looking for. But at the end of the day, he would come back and say, okay, we could work things out. It was never a relationship. That's the crazy part. I think that's like from 20 down to 24. No, sorry, to 23. That was like crazy time of my life because, wow, I was so confused.
With the same person?
Yes, it was so confusing. I was starting to be somebody I wasn't. At a point, it was so confusing that I wanted to go out with other people to forget him, but it wasn't working. Do you know the crazy part? Another person I met in that same scenario, trying to get over, had a girlfriend. I'm like, what are you doing here if you have a girlfriend? And it's like, it's complicated. Okay, break up with her. No, it's complicated. You have to let things play out. And, you know, it was just so frustrating that when I finally found the confidence to move forward and to move on, break out of all of those things, I told myself, you know what? It's time to start thinking with your head, not with your heart. Because if you show people so much that you really, really like them, it's okay too, but you have to match actions with words. That's the thing I wasn't seeing. People would say things, but they would not do things. That was the issue. So love then and love now, they're way different. Mm-hmm. Because it's much more, I'm much more at a lot. Mm-hmm. Knowing that, okay, you have to say this and you have to mean it. You have to say this and you have to do it. It's by force.
Yeah.
It has to be by force because you're choosing to say you want to stay. So if you want to stay, act like you want to stay and not, you know, manipulate or play.
No, we're past that. Way past that.
And I think that I agree with you first when it comes to dating older people. No, but very unlike you, where it's like you dated younger people, your age mates.
Yeah.
I started dating older people like from when I first started dating. Because it just, again, and this is where it comes to the fact that your parents,
yeah,
they kind of play a role in how you start to reason in life.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is like way older than my mom. So in my head, like, yeah, that's how he's supposed to be, exactly. You know? So I used to have this very, I used to have that part. When my mates are talking to me, I'm like, no, you shouldn't be talking to me. I don't even think he was that. So the very first person I dated was about 5-6 years older than me. The next person was almost 10 years older than me, if not more. Oh, so I was really swimming in waters that I was not ready to be swimming in. But the good thing of it, I think, in some instance, was the fact that I was also very aware,
mm-hmm,
in the sense that even though I was dating them, I still had my own sort of like, I made sure that they liked me. I don't know how to explain it, but it was like, you had to show it. But then even when you talk about manipulative, they wait for you,
yeah,
when you do all those things.
Yeah.
And then when you're now in,
exactly,
it now becomes a thing of, yeah, you can no longer leave because like it's, you're sort of like, it's harder to leave. And then you start to see things and then you want to go. You know how
you now start believing that, okay, maybe they can change.
Yes. And then you don't, now that I'm out of the relationship here, I realized that I probably was manipulated, but I actually did not realize because I came out and then I started to think so many signs that show that this person probably was cheating on me. This person probably was doing things that I wasn't aware of. You know, like now I see them clearly, but then it was like, no, I was living in heaven.
Yeah.
It was like everything.
You see, I think love is like the highest kind of emotion. It's right here and then others follow.
Mm.
Because I don't get the kind of concept it is. There's a feeling to it I can't explain. Just like heartbreak. Heartbreak is the ghetto.
Unfortunately, I can't really relate to heartbreak.
No.
I mean, I can feel the pain of when I left my last relationship. But like I said to you when we were talking earlier, I saw it coming.
No.
So it was a thing of, I was getting ready for it. It was like, I was putting it forward where it's like, I'm telling this person, oh, I'm talking to other people.
Yeah.
I'm talking, so I'm telling, also, if I used to go to his place like 10 times in a week, I started going like one time, two times. It was like, you know that you're cutting off from something. You know when something wants to cut?
Yeah.
When something just cut, he just like, small, just dragging it, small. So I think in that moment of leaving, I gave myself some peace of, okay, this person's not always going to be there.
Attachment.
Yeah. But also, it did hurt because I was with this person for a long time. So there was the pain of, how am I going to live my life without this person? Like for a while, because I remember then my mom's car, he used to be the one to help with taking it to a mechanic. We're only two girls, so there was no boy. And then my dad isn't really around. So he was the one that was always in that shield. If I had to go to school, he would drive me down to school. So when I was going for my master's, I felt so alone. Oh my God, I felt so alone because there was nobody to drive me to school. I mean, my mom was there, but like, she doesn't want to drive that far. She's like, I can't be bothered. So we had to use Uber. But then if he was at, when I went for my like first degree, he drove down, you know, he brought my mom when it was time for my graduation. Mm-hmm. Like he was a part of our life, like part, you know how somebody has left their own family is not part of your own family. And I think that that's something wise that he did. So, because I wasn't a part of his family.
Mm.
I don't really care to be part of your family. I'm sorry. And maybe it was also age. But then it was so hard for even my family people to get used to the fact that I'm no longer with this guy. Because every time like something's happening, it's like, yeah, call him now. And I'm like, call who? Is it your brother? So that in that part, it hurts. But in the part of, oh, he broke my heart and, oh, I started crying, I can't relate to that.
Whoa. There are days you'll be on, there were days I was on the floor, you know, like crying, God, please, if maybe you could just heal me, like make me forget this person, like if I just wake up tomorrow.
Wow.
And I cannot remember again, I will not fall in love again. But that was a lie.
Don't tell me you're already in love with somebody else again. Shit, girl, you be loving. You'll be loving so fast.
But you know, it's now different because now I'm more aware of, okay, this is how people are. So now I have to like make sure that, okay, you mean this. You say it, so you have to mean it.
But how are you sure that you mean it?
Well, the thing is, I am not thinking with all my heart anymore. I'm thinking in my head.
Oh, shit. Yeah. The game is wiser.
It's not like at the end of the day, of course, you have to have 100% trust for the person.
Mm-hmm.
So going into a relationship, you have to say, okay, I'm going to give you trust. Even though other people failed me, I'm going to give you trust. But I will forget that people can change. I will give you the trust, but I won't forget that people can change.
But that when you have that mindset, it's not a thing of you're no longer 100% there.
No.
Because you're also open to the fact that it might spoil.
Yeah.
And then you don't really put, do you feel like you're putting in your all?
Yes, I feel like I'm putting my all.
Okay.
Actually, I feel like I'm putting, I'm just aware to, it's like, if it happens, then it happens. I've stopped saying that, oh, I can beat myself up for it. I can't blame myself. Even for all those situations that happened, I couldn't blame myself. That was how I grew up. That was what I knew. So coming into the world and seeing something different and seeing people different was surprising to me. It just took me time to study the pattern and say, okay, this is this and that's that. But now I'm more aware. So yes, of course, I will give you my 100% love. But if it goes out, I'm not saying I'm going to cry and kill myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to do all of that. I'm not going to blame you for it because it is life.
You won't blame him.
I won't blame him because I don't blame the others too. It's not their fault, it's my fault.
Really? So that now brings me to a part of like, I know that when I was having issues in my relationship, it got to a point where I was thinking I'm probably the problem.
Because
I have a thing where, even with work, if things don't go the way I want them to go, like it's very easy for me to say, let's start going.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. So it started to be a thing. And then even when I was trying to explain of how he was an integral part of our family,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't really a part of his family. It was like, and you know this thing where Igbo men or Igbo people, they like their family so much. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm that person who's like, I don't really want to be, I mean, I like them. I don't hate them.
It's not time.
Yeah. It's and not. I was like, I didn't want to be that girl that, you know, you're not cooking in your family. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I didn't want your mom to know me too much, all this kind of stuff. So I realize now that probably I should have done things a little bit differently. Maybe I should have tried more. But then, you know, I had to take a moment to not blame myself, which is the question I'm trying to ask you. In all of this heartbreak, did you ever start to question yourself that maybe you're the problem and maybe relationship is just not for you?
Yes, I questioned myself. I said maybe I was doing too much.
Mm.
Maybe I wasn't beautiful enough.
I thought I was doing little and you thought you were doing too much.
I thought I was doing too much, you know. I think there was one time when the boyfriend said he didn't have money to pay for the movie he wanted to see and I needed to sponsor. I was never the type to ask men for money. Let me be honest.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in contention.
Mm.
So I am.
Now I hate it though.
Yes.
I hate that. I wish I collected more money.
Exactly. I'm just like you. I wish I collected that money because now they ate my money and that.
Sorry, sis.
Which is not okay. But then that's what I'm saying, that I don't blame myself anymore. I don't think I'm not beautiful enough for anybody anymore. I don't think I was doing too much. I was doing me.
Yeah, and so, it's on them.
Exactly. So it's not really their fault, although they had a part to play in it, but it's not really their fault. Because if I keep blaming them, I won't move forward.
Yeah.
I won't forgive myself too. So I had to find a balance. You know what? Let us, you broke my heart, okay? Now, let me forgive you so that I too can move forward.
Mm.
Because you have to forgive yourself first before you can, you know.
Forgive other people.
Exactly.
I agree with that because also, I recently actually just blocked everybody that I've ever dated.
Really?
Yeah. I used to be that person who would say, oh, I'm just going to leave them on my WhatsApp so that when I get into the next relationship and I'm having all the fun in the world, they're going to see it. They're going to know. They're going to be peppered. They're going to know what they lost. But I just got to a point, I'm like, I keep mistakenly seeing their status.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to see it. Like, I put them on mute. But one way or another, I always go to that mute and I see them and I see things I don't want to see. And then they're sending me Yamayama messages. One time, one was sending me, I still love you. I'm like, turn that fire, you there. God is going to help me to punish you right there, you know? And I did not want that conversation. Because it also made me realize that, have I really moved on? Have I really forgiven? If I'm always having this person somewhere and if I'm thinking that, oh, I'm posting something and maybe this person will see it and feel jealous. It's like, have I even moved on if I'm still holding on to all of this thought?
Exactly.
And so I just picked up my phone that fateful day and I'm like, block, block, move. I blocked him. I blocked all his friends. I blocked his mother. I blocked every goddamn person that I got to know through the relationship. And I'm like, you ain't gonna see me. And if you see me, maybe mistakenly they've subscribed to my YouTube channel. I'm like, well, that one is far. Mm-hmm. But like in my close circle of like WhatsApp, because WhatsApp's a bit more personal, I don't want you guys there. And I went ahead and I blocked. I'm sure that they would have a swell time when they all realized that, ah, she blocked you. She blocked you. I can only imagine what that day would be like. But for me, it was a process of healing, like you said, you know, trying to move on. It's been 2 years now. And I think that I'm finally moving on, right? Like, I'm finally getting to that place where I don't necessarily, I mean, now I'm thinking about him, but like, I don't necessarily think about the relationship. Yes. I don't necessarily, because it got to a point where I always used to think about what could have happened. Because like you too, it was a relationship where I thought it was going to lead to marriage. I mean, when you dated someone for 4 or 5 years, like, what's the next thing?
Exactly.
You guys are going to get married. But because of a lot of things and conversations that were being had in the relationship, I started to, again, blame myself. And so I then used to think, what if I'd done this separately? Maybe I'd be married by now. What if I'd done this? Maybe he'd still be here. I just started to beat myself a lot. And it took me, if I, for a year, I'm like, I'm on sabbatical. I don't talk to any man. I don't talk to anybody. Everybody stay in your father's house. Everybody stay in your father's house. So that was my process of healing. And I think that it's very important to heal, mm-hmm. which is what most people who move on from one relationship to another don't necessarily do.
Yeah.
Because you think that, like, a part of you, I don't know if it's like a part of you goes with the relationship, but a part of you actually, it needs to heal.
They were a part of your life, so the memories will always stay.
Yep.
It's just that you will not capitalize on what could have been anymore. You'll be like, okay, of course, we had that moment, that time. It's fine.
Yeah, and then you exactly. cherish those moments, and you're like, yeah, okay.
I'm with somebody better now, so...
Unfortunately, I'm not with somebody better now.
Yeah. No, so you have to move on, because
oh my God.
At the end of the day, everybody, you have to find your person. Unless it's okay, you don't want people around you or you don't want to get married, it's fine.
Yeah, for me, I want to get married. I just, the love of my life, I don't understand where he is.
Love, so I will keep trying.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Of course, because it just, love just makes the world make sense.
Mm.
Because when you're in love, there's just this happiness that you can even give to everybody around. They will know you're very happy. They will know that there's just this feeling of love that I could say is magical. Although I've never felt magic before. If I don't even know if magic is real, but there's a way to explain it that other people cannot understand, but you can.
Mm.
So, yeah,
I agree with you.
Love is just...
I think that love is beautiful. I think that having somebody you call your person and who is genuinely there, I think that it is beautiful.
It makes you safe.
Mm.
Yeah. It makes me feel safe.
Cassandra is in love.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, shout out to whoever is loving this babe right now. You're doing the work. She's in love. It's the safe for me. That's so beautiful, because it's a beautiful feeling to have.
Because out of the millions of billions of people in the world, you found your person, or you found somebody that is there even at that moment. So it just feels okay. It just feels safe. So,
girl, I see the love glow. I see the love glow. It's like, you know, I'm like, God, I see what you're doing. Don't pass me by.
Yeah, come on, do
God, do as you have done unto Cassandra, do my own too. Because just like you, I believe that love is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even when the world tries to make your heart very hardened and you go through, it's a beautiful thing to say, I'm still going to love regardless. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to kill a part of yourself because of other people. I don't think they are worth you. And again, also the fact that being vulnerable, because love also comes with vulnerability.
Yep.
You have to be willing to trust them. You have to be willing to, you know, give yourself whole into the relationship, because relationship is two sides. So I think that it's a beautiful thing for people to have to go through heartbreaks and still decide that, you know what, I'm going to try again.
Mm-hmm.
And then even to be able to openly say, I'm going to try again. Because you see that in today's world, too many people trying to be forming woke.
Exactly.
Too many people trying to say, I'm hard girl, hard boy. I can't fall in love. Nobody can break my heart. Nobody can do this. It's like,
no. This is 2023. Stop that.
Stop it.
Just be straightforward. Because there's no point beating around the bush or playing around. Doesn't make any sense. Just stop it.
Like, for me, it doesn't make sense. And if you're somebody who does that, it feels like you're depriving yourself of something beautiful. Because you're trying to claim what you're not. Because God saw that the earth, in the, according to the Bible, Bible scholars, I'm not exactly sure this is how he said it, but he saw the world, he had created it, and he saw that everything was beautiful, but something was missing. There was need for Eve to be on the earth with Adam because it was not good that Adam should be alone. You know, he then created Eve. So it means that God, in his infinite mercy and his wisdom, decided that there was a need for man and woman to be together, to have a companion. So if we as human beings now say that the God that created us, he didn't know what he was doing when he needed one person and then says, oh, no, no, I don't need anybody. I'm not going to fall in love. Like, come on.
It doesn't make any sense.
Don't do that to yourself. You're depriving yourself of the beauty, that is. But I would also say that take your time. This is me just giving advice. I know that Cassie has found hers. Actually, Cassie, give us the tip. So what do you think helped you to find? I really feel like you feel this person is your person, yeah? They're definitely there. So what do you think helped you to get or to, yeah, to be ready for this person and make this a better relationship than your last?
Well, just like you said, you have to force yourself to, yeah, you have to force yourself. Because there are days when after getting heartbroken, you would feel okay. And then something, their name pops up or a picture of them pops up and you're like, oh, I haven't actually gotten past this. Mm-hmm. So you have to force yourself to avoid situations like that. Because when you start, it's like, they say 21 days for you, it takes 21 days for you to learn a habit or so. Mm-hmm. So you have to like, make sure it's like a routine. This is your life, you're fighting for your life. Because I was fighting for my life. I'm sorry, but there were times when I was suicidal too. I'm sorry. It got depressing. It wasn't fun. So heartbreak is not really what I even wish for my enemy.
Hmm.
And if you're somebody like me, who loves love a lot, so you need to protect yourself, first off. So if you're hearing me, you need to find ways to move on. Forget that person. Block, delete if you have to. Also, you have to start using your head to think instead of your heart. I mean, you can use your heart, but not all the time. Because, I mean, the heart is really fragile. So we're women, so women take what they hear. And when they start telling you sweet nothings, you just start taking it and saying, okay, maybe let me give it 3 more months. It can still work out. Maybe then that it gets to 2 years, 5 years, and then at the end of the day, it's wasted. And that's not okay. People should not be wasting other people's time like that. They're supposed to just be moving on with life, being happy, being joyful, you know, and all of that. So I do need you to remember that if people are saying things and they're not meaning it, they don't really like you. Because, you know, if you want to, let me say, if you want to get ice cream, you have to stand up and go to the ice cream store, get it, right? That's what you want. So you have to do it. If you don't want it, you won't do it. So it's same, it applies for people. If they don't want to do something,
they're not going to do it.
Exactly. So I think that's it. Just don't think with your heart all the time because people can play. People can play.
I think your head is also there to help you.
Yeah.
For wisdom too, because the heart is very, I don't know how the heart is, but fragile. I think that the heart is very fragile. Very soft as well. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. But you said being suicidal, that got me, it took me back to like, hold up. Suicidal because, wait, how did you break up with this last person?
We just stopped talking. It wasn't actually a relationship. It was a situationship.
The same one for 3 years?
Yeah, the one in recent times.
Yeah, the one where you talked about, you know, going, he would say one thing, then yeah, do another mean, thing. Yeah.
Mean, yeah. So it wasn't easy because I was already going into a relationship thinking older boys were good and I wasn't beautiful enough for this person.
OMG.
Like, when he would even talk to me, I'll feel like it's a privilege for him to even say bye back to me. It was that crazy. I mean, all those other boys made me feel like I was not worth it, or I'm not beautiful enough, or I'm doing too much for somebody who's doing so little.
So how did you fall in love with them though?
It was the idea already. Because it was like I already told myself, okay, let's re-strategize. Okay. Mm. Let's start dating boys older. So when he came, it felt like the universe was, it was him.
Mm.
So that, I was already in love with that.
Even before, oh, okay.
And he is, I don't say words because of course he's doing fine. He is a beautiful boy, oh man.
It's what you call them beautiful boys.
Because I like beautiful people.
Yeah.
So it attracted me a lot. So I got to understand, he has a very good personality. Just that he wasn't, he wasn't, I mean, I know that he told me that we should go with the flow, or sometimes he told me, I'm not what you're looking for. But how can you say that to me? I'm still a child, practically. I'm trying to understand life.
How many years difference?
It was like 8 or 7.
Wow.
So I saw him like someone older, more experienced.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you're going to say that to me, then just help me. The idea, the thing was, I was thinking now, you could have just helped, just blocked me. Could have just blocked me.
Mm.
Let's just move forward. Let me just move forward in my life. But he would say that, keep sending me back tests every other day, making me feel, okay, I'm here for you. At a point, he actually asked me out. But I was not like, I was already used to him not wanting to be in a relationship with me. I was like, okay, let me think about it. When I was not ready to be in a relationship, he was not like, oh, the time has passed when I asked you that question. I was like, what
the? No way.
Yeah. So it was just not a very good experience for me.
Mm.
That time of my life, I just felt like I wasted it.
Mm.
So it wasn't a good experience.
So how did you guys break up?
I just stopped talking to him. I just knew
you woke
that.
Up one day and
yes, I just knew that, you know, you can't leave, because there were times I tried to not talk to him in like 2 weeks, I'll go back. I was like, you know, just stop. Just fight it. If you have to fight it, fight it. And I could not delete his number that same day or that same month. But when I now moved from the East to Lagos after school, I was like, okay, no, here's a new chapter. You're turning a new age, 24, so please move.
Mm.
So I now said deleting. That was when I now realized that, okay, I have to actually force myself to move on. That's why I said, you have to force yourself to move on.
Mm.
If not, you still get stuck. Wow. And then you have to forgive yourself. So I said, telling myself, you know what? You're worth it. You're beautiful. And whoever deserves you is coming.
Mm.
You definitely get what you want. So just be patient and, you know, just follow it with your heart.
That's very beautiful. And I can definitely relate to that part of, you know, having to forgive yourself and telling yourself those good words. Like, I think I've had to do that to remind myself, you're beautiful. You're worth it. Just relax. No, take your time. Breathe in and breathe out.
Suicidal thoughts came. They lingered for a while, but I was like...
And what was making them, actually? Was it the fact that you were no longer with him, or the fact that you didn't see yourself as valuable?
A lot. They were like compressed into one.
Mm.
I'm not worth it. He doesn't like me. He's not coming around. We've stopped talking. What am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to... It's been how many years? 3 to 4 years I've been stuck on this. So how am I supposed to move on now? This is what I've always known. So it was so, but then I had to realize, okay, you didn't come to this world for this guy. Remember your dad, remember your mom.
Which is what I was going to ask, like all the family love you spoke about, you know.
I had to remember them. I was like, you know what, for you guys, I'll have to stay here, because it wasn't a good time. The heartbreak, it felt like for weeks, it just kept coming. For months, it kept coming, and it wasn't pleasant. But we found a way around it, so.
Okay. I'm glad that you found a way around it. And I'm glad that you shared this with us, because I feel like so many people can probably relate to the pressure of being heartbroken. And again, I think it's very similar to mine, actually, in the sense that you had to intentionally just take yourself out of it, because if not, you would have just stayed there and then it just lingers with you. Oh, so it's different from a heartbreak where it's like people say they chop breakfast. Did you chop breakfast?
No, exactly.
You didn't. I think you chopped breakfast with the one where you had to hack his Facebook.
Yep.
But the second, this one you just spoke about, I think you got probably wiser in the relationship and realized, you know what, I deserve more, and this guy's not giving me, so you had to leave.
Yes. Exactly.
So I think that you've seen a part of both worlds.
I'm thinking, okay, it's not the age.
It's not the age. Now it doesn't matter the age.
The person.
I think I've also come to that realization that it's not the age.
It's not.
Even though I haven't dated somebody who's exactly my age, or maybe just a little, maybe I don't know what God has done. I'm just resting right now. Like, God.
You see as it goes.
I'm like, God, just do your thing. I don't really know. I mean, I have specs, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
I like a fine man.
Of course.
I like somebody that is pleasing to the eyes.
Of course.
I don't know why this, whoever came up with that thing, oh, women don't look at you're fine, how fine you are is your heart, is what you do. I mean, there's a part to that. Mm-hmm. When I first see you, I'm not looking at your heart. For heaven's sake, I don't have a scanner. What's that thing? I'm not looking at your heart. I'm looking at what I'm seeing, physical. How are you? Are you fine? Are you taking care of yourself? Do you look good? Or you just harass somebody from nowhere? So, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's been amazing talking to you, Cassie. Thank you very much for sharing this side of your life with us. I'm happy that you're in a better relationship. You seem to be glowing. Like, I'm like, God, when? So yeah, I'm happy for you. And oh my God, I hope that one day I'll come back and say, you guys, I found the love of my life. But until then.
Yeah.
People like Cassie would definitely keep teaching us that, you know, it's okay to try again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it on today's episode of 20 Somethings Rant. I've had a good time talking to Cassie. And until next time, I remain Jessica Fortune. Have a good day, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed listening, don't forget to drop a review and rate on iTunes, Spotify, and Jamit. Also, you can join the conversation on Twitter using the hashtag 20somethingsrant or follow on Instagram at 20somethingsrant or send an email to 20somethingsrant@gmail.com. Until next time, I remain Jessica Fortunes. Bye-bye.